Welcome to episode 9 of the SR20 Talk podcast. We're back. Sorry, it's taken us a while to get some new episodes out, but just life's been coming at us pretty quickly, and we've had to deal with several things in life, but we're definitely happy to be back. Happy to be recording this next episode, in which we'll be discussing a few things SR20 related, obviously. Today I've got Adrian Zuniga from San Diego joining me, and we'll be discussing a few topics in regards to SR20. So, what's up, Adrian?
Hey, Ro, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. Here, still battling COVID. I know you got COVID yourself. So, how you feeling?
Man, it's a battle every day, so it's definitely a blessing to be able to get out of bed and wake up and be here. So thank you for having me.
Stuff. I know you've got maybe around 20 years worth of experience, and what can you share with some of the listeners here?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot, but I'll try to keep it super simple, and I'll kind of start it off with try to get these guys that are have a budget of like maybe $500, and what you can do mm-hmm. with that, and how hard it is to get the part and how hard it is to install it, and then once it's on, do you have to do anything, et cetera, et cetera. So how does that sound?
It sounds good to me. What I would say, let's stick with the traditional SR20 DE first. Just talk about 91 through 99 SR20 DE, high port, low port. What can I do to improve my SR20 DE?
Okay, perfect. So probably my go-to that I probably mess with on every SR20 that I go to is going to be adjusting the timing. Cost-wise, doesn't cost anything unless you don't have a timing light. Then you can either rent one from your local parts store or a buddy. Or if you want to buy one, you can get like a Harbor Freight one for like $30-$40. It's not that much money. And all you're doing is you're adjusting the timing, advancing it a little bit to either 17 or 19 degrees. Highly, highly recommend. Oh, before you do anything, disclaimer, this is all on you're doing this all on your own risk. So I'm not holding any responsibility for anybody who does anything, malicious or makes a mistake. So do it at your own risk.
And now, and I would definitely recommend how to set timing. There's a lot of things or a lot of ways you can figure that out. You know, the resource that we use or have used in the past has been the SR20 forums. Even up the FSM, just making sure you're following proper procedures to be able to set the timing. And one thing that I would also add is when factory timing is set to 15 degrees. Now, when you increase timing, you're also going to want to increase the fuel octane level that you're putting into your car. So if you don't already pump 91 or 93 and the East Coast, definitely recommend to put higher octane level fuel in order to avoid any pinging or detonation issues, correct?
Yeah, definitely a must. If you're going to bump up the timing, bump up your octane to make sure your timing can take it and vice versa.
Cool. Now, what else can I do to improve my SR20 DE?
So timing doesn't cost anything, relatively easy to do. Next thing, ironically, being during the COVID era, you want to make sure not just only that you can breathe, that you can make your engine breathe. So the next go-to is to easy thing to do. Upgrade your intake, not the intake manifold, but the actual intake pipe. And it can be something as simple as a pop charger. You can get, an eBay intake for $50-$60, or you can even get a cold air intake. If you can find them still, they're a little bit harder to find, but those are really nice as well. But definitely you want to let the engine breathe by getting a better intake.
What are the companies coming to mind? Old school setups.
Place Racing, That's the old one.
Place
old,
racing.
Old school. Yeah. Yeah, place racing. We already mentioned AEM. Hotshot was another one, but it was, I mean, they're pretty much, they're all different brands, but they're pretty much the same product for the most part. A lot of these parts you, yeah, you can even make it yourself. If you're savvy enough, you can make it yourself. Not too hard. Put a couple pipes on, you know, a couple pipes with bends on them and a couple connections. Make sure when you do it, you don't forget to reinstall your idle air control valve hose, which is on the back, which happens to a lot of people when they first do it. So make sure you remember to put that back on and connect all your vacuum lines back together as well. For these parts, if you're not going to go to eBay, I would highly recommend you join the forum or the forum groups on Facebook and look for parts. There's always a lot of guys that have the parts and they're selling them. So it's probably the best place to get them as well.
Cool. Sounds good. What else can I do to improve my SR20DE?
Next thing, and also the breathing. So we already said breathing in. So now you got to let it breathe out. So you want to get a nice header on there. Headers, there's different kinds. The one that was the go-to back in the day, because it was just a really, you know, really good bang for your buck. It was about $100 back in the day, and it was the SSAC. You know, we'd call it the stainless steel autochrome. That's the abbreviation for it. Nowadays, yeah. Yeah, that's what it was.
Wow.
That's what their abbreviation stands for. So I'm probably dating myself here, but that's why they abbreviated it to SSAC, stainless steel autochrome. Yeah. The main thing with that is that it upgraded the primaries and the downpipe to bigger and let your motor breathe out.
Exhale.
Exhale. Nowadays though, I just looked as of the second week of January 2022, it's hard to find them on eBay. So again, I would probably recommend going to the forum or the Facebook groups and looking for a header on there. It's probably going to be used, but I mean, it's what's available right now at the current time.
And then for headers, and then, I mean, with headers, you bring up an interesting topic here, because let's see here. I've purchased several different headers throughout the time that I've been messing with these cars. I have had a few SS autochromes. I have had a ProTech header. I've had a JSP header. Great tri-wipe, by the way, slip-on. Then you've got new companies coming out, such as SoCal.
Yeah, SoCal Race Parts.
SoCal header. Yeah, SoCal Race Parts. They make a nice header. I think I saw Luis Pena posting that he had one of those and looked nice. So a lot of guys have stepped up their game with the headers. You got the guys in Mexico, or I think Armonic headers. So there's a lot of options out there for all the SR20 all motor crowd. So definitely something to check out.
Yeah, it all really depends on your budget and your end goal, right? And I try to make it as budget friendly as possible. That's why I mentioned that one. I think one that you didn't mention was the Hotshot. Hotshot's another one that's really good. I had one of those in the past. Good quality, and it came
straight. ASP.
Oh yeah, ASP. Yeah. Another really good one. Some of them run a little bit lower, so if you got a lowered car, you just want to be careful. And some of them are not.
Oh, and a JMR header. Man, so many companies out there these days.
Yep.
A lot of them stopped production on several of them. So, you know, whatever you can find on the forum groups, on Facebook, Instagram, you know, on the forum, if you still follow the forum. I mean, I do. I actually have a build post over there right now, but we'll get into that later. But anyway, so yeah, there's definitely improvements to be made with headers.
Yes.
And obviously exhaling, and I mean, you got to give it some space to breathe too, right? So I would say an exhaust is next.
You're reading my, it looks like you're reading my notes. That's the next thing on the list. So, yeah, okay. This one, this next one is probably going to ruffle a couple feathers. It's just, again, this is my opinion, and this is what's worked for me in the past, and this is what I like to do on all my SR cars, and that's, I go from the cat back 3-inch. Some people like 2.5, but I definitely recommend 3-inch. It's going to give you the most power on the top end, at least. If you're going to be a little bit more, more just want daily driver, you probably want to go to the 2.5. And you can get, gosh, I don't even know if they're making them still, but there's a, if you don't have a local shop where you can go and they can make you one, you can go to, oh gosh, what was the name of the website? I want to say it's called mandreltubing.com. And there was another one too, but there's two of them that they, yeah, there you go. VRS. So VRS or Mandrel or Mandrel tubing.com, either one of those, you can get a Mandrel tube exhaust for your car. I was recommending ordering it online, and thanks for reminding me. I forgot to mention the difference between the crush and the mandrel. The crush crushes the pipe, and you'll lose a little bit of power there. The mandrel keeps the same 3-inch through the bend, and that'll help you scavenge anything extra. So good point. Good point. Got it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, cool. Is there anything else that you would recommend on the SR20DE engine? I mean,
yeah. So
also high port, low ports, you know, from 91 through 99, and then get into some of the roller rocker options that, you know, you would think would benefit.
Yes. So this next one, is a little bit more for somebody who one of two things. It's for somebody who either really knows their way around the engine or has somebody who knows their way around an engine. And it's actually doing cams for the motor. For any DE, you can get the cams relatively inexpensive still. When I say relatively inexpensive, you can get a used set for, you know, $400 or a brand new set for around $500. But again, there is a degree of difficulty in doing this. So you definitely want to have somebody who's, you know, knowledgeable in doing it. And you can do, man, there's, remind me of the different brands. The one that I usually go to is Jim Wolf or Tom A. What other brands are available, Raul? There's a bunch of cams that are available for the motors. It's just a matter of what's your budget. And then my recommendation, talk to somebody about which ones you're going to go with, because your power band is going to be adjusted typically higher. S3s from Jim Wolf are really good for a street car, very good mid-range. And then if you want something on the higher, you maybe want to go to S4s. And then you mentioned something about the 91 intake cam. I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that, because that's like kind of a hidden gem.
It is. And Adrian, have you ever messed with this 91 intake cam? Man, it does make a little bit of a difference, at least in my experience with that. So, what experience do you have?
Probably the same as yours. It definitely woke up the motor a lot more than what I had thought it was going to do. I thought it was a myth. I thought it was like some myth, some legend. You know, you read about it in the forums when, you know, back in the day, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. Some guy did this, and you know, you don't really know, because you know, back in the day it was just text that you were reading. And
right.
I threw it on, and I was like, wow, this is definitely a game changer. It was worth it for me to source one from the junkyard. And at the time I wasn't too expensive. And it was definitely a hidden gem for, you know, that 200 SX that I had at the time.
It's going to respond more when you have supporting mods, obviously, just like with anything, right? I mean, mm-hmm. If you throw on an intake, you know, let's also keep them. Let's do the header. Let's do the exhaust. Mm-hmm. All those things are going to come into play. Be able to let the motor respond better, perform better. And it's just a much more valuable or way better driving experience when you got those types of mods or supporting mods on that. The drivability of the car just increases, a whole notch. So definitely 91 intake cam is a hidden gem, as you mentioned. Not a lot of people know about that these days because, I mean, who really is modding the DE mode these days, I mean, everybody is talking about Vs, VTs, SR20 DTs, so it's a different world now, right?
100%. Totally changed from back in the day. We're talking about 15, 20 years difference. So yeah, 100%.
Okay. And what, give me one more thing that you would do to one of these motors. I mean,
This one is kind of like I would say the cherry on top. And it's really gonna encompass everything that you mentioned, right? It's really gonna make everything work together in a cohesive unit. And really what that is upgrading your computer, and
bingo.
it's easy to do for the most part. There's a lot of tuners out there that have pre-programmed tunes. You can, oh my gosh, I'm not familiar with all of them. I just know the Jim Wolf one, and I'm a big Jim Wolf fan because I'm here in San Diego and he's in San Diego. But there's what was the other guy? The other guy, he's not around anymore.
Callum.
Column. Yeah,
Callum.
Column.
Yep, Callum sold. Who
Gosh,
else is
what's
out
the
there?
other?
I mean, with
There's a guy
shipping
that they use them.
ECUs.
There's a guy that uses them in Puerto Rico.
Oh, Paiute.
Yeah, Paiute. Shout out to you guys in PR if you guys are listening. And then also there's some guys in Mexico as well that our buddy from Vegas, Paco, was using as well, who said that they're producing good numbers as well. And then of course there's also the oh gosh, what was the other one? The Nismotronic, and then there was one more.
This tune.
Niztune. There you go. So there's those are some, options available. Usually when we talk about computers, it can be a little bit more, expensive. So it is easier. It's easy to plug and play some of them, but some of them it does cost a little bit more money. And there is some corresponding things you need to do. And I'm not familiar with all of them, but some of them you do need to get a wideband to be able to tune it. But some of the other ones are just,
Right.
you tell them what you have, they burn it on the chip for you, and then they send it over to you, and you're good to go.
And interesting that you talk about Jim Wolf because that's what I currently have in the race car. And, originally when I got the car from Greg V, I mean, it came with the Jim Wolf ECU. And when Brian was working on the car, we just we should be doing with it. And I told him, you know what, let's send it off to Jim Wolf. We'll get a basic setup on it later down the road once we're ready, to make some changes to the car. Then, we can talk about changing or upgrading the computer. I've had the car for a little bit over a year now, and you always want to go a little faster, right? It's just in our blood. It's in our DNA. We want to be able to modify these cars and to go faster. But I can fucking tell you, man, honestly, I'm having so much fun with this car with the Jim Wolfe that my plans originally were to go with like either like a Haltech, or Tronic. Hell, I have a Niztune sitting right there in the other car. It just I don't think I'm gonna do that now. I feel that the car performs well with the Jim Wolfe ECU. Jim Wolfe has always ran a little richer on the richer side. That's just obviously for
Safety.
for extra insurance, yeah, safety per. I'm okay with that. It just kind of blows my mind that 20 something years later, this car is still running a Jim Wolf ECU without a single hiccup, at least from the computer standpoint, So, but yeah, I mean, definitely recommend to send things over. Lee Clark was the guy back then. I can't remember the name of the guy now that's handling the
Oh,
orders for ECUs at over at Jim Wolf.
it's Ben. Very
Ben,
nice guy,
that's right.
Ben. Ben. He's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's another, something that'll definitely help put everything together and work everything really well. And it'll make your car very, very fun and keep it under a relatively inexpensive budget.
Got it. Now talk to me about the V engines.
Oh, yeah. We can get into that. Man, the VE, a lot of the things that we mentioned to the DE kind of go hand in hand. So, you know, you always want to make it let it breathe. So for sure, get that intake, whether it's a pop, or warm air or cold air. But on the VE, typically when you get into the VE, you'll get a lot more gains, you know, opening up the intake manifold. And
right.
This one isn't as budget friendly. So this one, I'm gonna just let you know it's gonna cost you a little bit more than what we initially were talking about. But right. You know, to get those extra last ponies, you're gonna have to pay a little bit more. A little bit more money, you know. So
You mentioned a little bit more money, Adrian. Can we talk about how much the V's are going for these days? We're in January, second week of January of 2022. When I got my first BBL, which was back in 2007 or 2008, I bought that engine for $700.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at prices nowadays advertised on Facebook by some of the vendors and, you know, looking at JDM shops and stuff like that. Now, I don't blame those guys for putting the prices that they're putting them for. Now, mm-hmm. you know, there's guys that have been in the game for a long time, and I respect them for still, you know, being able to supply engines and stuff like that we need for them. But I've seen these engines upwards of $2,000 these days. You know, it's a 20V. I'm not talking about a 20V. I mean, 20V is going to cost you almost $3,000 these days. And, you know, I mean, wow, things have changed, huh?
100%. I remember, I sound like old man. I remember my first VE. The first one cost me about $700. And I remember at the time I was like, this is a lot of money because the DE was like,
yes.
And I was like, I can get two DEs. What am I doing? But nowadays, and to your point, I just looked on eBay a few hours ago, and the most economical one's about $1,900. So I mean, we're in that Fast and Furious. You know, SR20s are pulling a premium right now. So get one where you can.
Oh yeah,
it keeps going up, and in the rare ones, the 20Vs are going for more. 16 V's for even more, and then even the VETs are even more. So just get what you can get before they go, you know, they go way, way more above what we're looking at right now. So
definitely. So anyways, well, we kind of wandered off topic, but you were mentioning, you know, obviously opening up the intake manifold. Now let me stop you there before we discuss more of those things, just because in my honest opinion, and this is, you know, my experience, take it however you want to take it. It's definitely a trial and error based thing. I personally put together SR20V, where intake is spent thousands of dollars and went to the dyno things just to be able to increase the power. Things that I should have looked at though were how to increase the drivability of the car. Now, a VE, we know we can, you know, push it to 9,000 RPMs with, you know, obviously with insurance, but those springs and retainers on there. Although some claim that it's okay to spin it to 9K with, fuck it. I don't have insurance, so I'll definitely always put springs and retainers anything above 8,000 RPM.
Me too.
Now, with that being said, I can tell you, Adrian, that I spent maybe $5,000 or $6,000, let's say, right? header, intake manifold, cams, exhaust, tuning, you name it, all kinds of
right.
shit. Just to
right.
see how the car performed, hit certain number, and I was like, fuck, I need some more power. Now, when I did something simple as far as just with a stock VE, now this is another setup. I did a stock VE, and I put an SR16 N1 transmission, even an SR16 transmission. That alone just changed the whole dynamic of the car, where the acceleration on the car was just ridiculous. It changed the game. Now, I spent, I think at the time it was like $1,000, but I got the SR16 N1 transmission from Brian Abaddon's or San Diego. And I put it on the car, and that alone just, again, changed the dynamic of the car, as to where I started questioning, like, fuck, I spent thousands of dollars trying to make this car make more power. So I was chasing numbers as opposed to chasing, you know, or approaching the car in a different manner. I should have seen, maybe let's change the acceleration on the car. And that alone just made the world of a difference, man. So these days, when I see guys posting on Facebook groups and you know, on posts about looking to modify their V, I jump in there and I say, hey, stop what you're doing. You've got a grocery list of things you're looking. You're going to be spending about $5,000 or $6,000. Stop there. Go find yourself a final drive. M Factory is making these final drives, a 4.7, 5.1. Find yourself an SR16 transmission, has a 4.4 final drive in there. Gear ratios are different. If it's kind of a daily commuter, get yourself a B15 transmission. It's got a 4.4 in there as well. Just, you're going to be able, with changing that alone, going with the cam, going with an intake setup. Obviously, if you get all those things done with both the cams, the hold and the transmission, well, shit. Now you're pushing both power and acceleration. But starting mod definitely would be transmission related for me. Now, what do you think, man?
I agree with you. I mean, power is great, but power doesn't mean anything if you can't put it down to the ground and make it usable. So, I mean, what great is, you know, what good is it? You got over 200 horsepower, but your gears are really long and you can't be in BVL the whole time. So I'm with you. You gotta be able to manage that power band and be in the power band as much as you can. And it sounds like, based on what you learned, it sounds like you learned the recipe for a lot more fun than just power, ultimate power, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely say a stock VE motor in the B13 with, let's say, a 4.7 final drive versus a B13 I'm sorry, excessive intake manifold, let's say a ProTec header, and it's tuned, I think you're going to have a lot more. You're probably this car with more engine mods with just the transmission alone or final drive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things to think about when modifying your V. Again, it's my personal experience. I preach it just because I've spent a lot of money in the past with trying to modify and get them to the best of their abilities. But the biggest thing always for me, on a VE setup, on an all-motor setup, that with a final drive or SR16 transmission, whatever you can do.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Especially if you're not seeing the freeway or that often, then change that final drive. And it'll definitely wake up the engine, and, well, not wake it up, but make sure you're in the power band. So when you hit it, you're good to go. So it's a really good piece of advice, Ro.
Absolutely. Now let's talk power. I mean, intake manifold, as I mentioned, excessive setups. Gato Performance makes an intake manifold, which is now they're making it billet. So they went away from customizing these intake manifolds from doing them by hand, and now they're doing them on a CNC machine. So, yes, more money. I mean, it's the nature of the game. Right. If you want something better, you're going to have to fork out that wallet and play the game. So, yeah. NA has always been a game of, you know, how big is the wallet? You know, I think I saw a post from Bess back in the All Motor. People who hate money, you know, just because you're going to be dumping so much money into NA, every single horsepower counts. You know, if you gain 3 horsepower by doing or dumping $500 worth of parts into the car, I mean, shit, that take that as a win, right?
Yeah. The All Motor game is definitely for deep pockets, deep pockets.
Yeah.
So
setup, I mean, my ideal setup is definitely starting off with, you know, if you're a budget side of things, is going with an excessive
pull setup.
You know, porting out some of the runners, porting out the plenum,
getting that
throttle body.
Yeah, Q45 throttle body. Exactly.
Q45 throttle body, three inch intake or 3.5 inch intake with if you're still running a math, you know. I think it's one from a Q45 you throw on there. Otherwise, I'm getting rid of that.
Yeah.
Or a Cobra. What else that you can do? I mean, intake. The cam. It's no surprise. N1 cams for an All Motor setup is just the perfect setup as a drop-in setup there. Proven gains, 15 horsepower. Increase the power more. Header.
The header now.
Definitely intake is going to be where you're going to want to put some more money into on a VE. So it's going to let you take it away from
there. Yeah, I mean, we'll just go from the top to the bottom or from the back to the front of the engine, so to speak, if you're looking at the engine. So once you do the intake, like Roel was saying, just a double back, you want to make sure you upgrade those cams, get some N1 cams. Cost you about $500, give or take, maybe $600, just depending on who you get them from. And right now they were on back order. I don't know if they're still on back order. I know we had there was a short supply of them, but that's a different conversation. At the same time, when you're there, since you want to rev to 9, highly, highly recommend it. Get some springs and retainers in there, throw them on there while you're there. So you do that. And then, other side of the engine, and then get a really nice header. The VE likes to breathe, so the power is really going to be limited to how much you're willing to commit to these headers. There's some very crazy headers that look like what does it look like? It looks like a bunch of twisted pipes. It looks like a Medusa snake.
That's what we nicknamed the old. The last Protec header. Shout out to Bruce, by the way. He's no longer making Protec products. Just California's become a little bit too, how do I say it without, you know, tripping people up? A little communist.
Strict.
You know,
strict. A little bit too strict.
yeah. So Protec's no longer in business, but obviously, we wish Bruce and his family his next venture. So,
yeah. So, make sure you get a good header on there. There's some other companies and there's some other individuals out there that are making headers now as well. Some of the ones that we mentioned from the DE actually, you can use them on a VE. The SSIC you can use. That's what I have on my car right now, my daily. You can use the Hotshot. You can use what's that other one that it's like a really nice. Oh, it's the SoCal Race Shop one that that Tri-Y. Yeah, that's a nice one. I'm curious to see the numbers on it. Nobody showed me numbers yet on it, but I'm curious. It looks like it makes power. Shout out to the baby in the background yelling. And then also. There's another company that does a really nice 4-to-1. I think your brother had it, Robo. What company is that?
ASP?
Yeah, ASP. That's another one that they may not be making the headers anymore for SR20s, but those were good headers as well for top end. And then again, the VEs, because they like to breathe, you got to continue out the back. So at the minimum, 3-inch exhaust, that's my recommendation. I'm sticking to it. It's going to be loud. That's one of the reasons why it's called a VVL. Very, very loud. But if you want to quiet it down, put a couple of resonators in there and put a nice muffler in the back, and it should help you quiet it down. But if, you know, you like that noise, let it rip, man. Let it rip.
Definitely.
As far as power adders, I mean, that's pretty much it. And then the next thing is probably going to be the ECU again, right?
Yeah.
Unless we start doing other things that are not all motor. So, what else can we do? We could maybe pulleys.
You know what? For insurance purposes, it can never be too safe, right? Spinning a motor to 9,000 RPM, depending on what type of drive you do, right? I mean, if it's something that's going to see a little bit of spirited driving, then you may not need it, but always recommended. However, if you're going to be doing road racing, some drag racing, that type of racing where the car is going to be at higher RPMs for long periods of time, definitely invest in an ATI damper. You know, it just balances out the crank and less vibration, and you won't have to deal with shit that I've had to deal with in the past. Spinning a rod bearing, you know, and save yourself a lot of time and money and headache and frustration. It gets frustrating at times when things, and the only thing you can do is just start from ground, from the bottom up again. And ATI damper, you're going to want to, let's see here. Yeah, you can do a defect water pump pulley. You know, I would see if you can find an N1 water pump, less prone to cavitation at higher RPMs. If you can't find a defect pulley, do what I do, or what Brian put in my car. I think it was from a Stanza. Yeah, it's got the Stanza pulley, water pump pulley on there. Obviously, these are things that have been just trial and error type of things. Intake header, cams, exhaust. I mean, if you started to get really serious about an all motor thing, I mean, now we're talking about opening up the engine, you know, and that's when it starts getting a little expensive, but that's another topic. Transmission, you know, let's get a final drive in there. A 4.7 in factory is a pretty solid final drive. You're scared about your 5-speed box, you know, is it going to be okay for highway driving? You know, you don't want to be in fifth gear at going 80 mile an hour at 65, 7,000 RPM, you know. Throw a P10 final P10 fifth gear in there. I mean, there's so many options to be able to get the car to what would be suited for your needs. Again, all this information we're giving is based on our experiences with cars and what we recommend, what have we recommended to our peers, what we've shared, what we've learned. Because, I mean, a lot of the process of working in these cars is always going to be a trial and error and showing previous experiences with the cars and how you can improve those things in these cars to be able to enjoy the car more, right? And how to be able to prolong the life of the engine, prolong the life of the transmission. I mean, there's so many things that could be addressed to primarily, I mean, you want to enjoy driving the vehicle, right? A lot of times it starts with how you're going to be able to put the power down, as you mentioned. If in some spirited driving or road racing or drag racing, you've got to be in that certain RPM range to be able to let the car perform at the highest level. So things such as final drives, things such as tuning. I mean, tuning is very crucial, especially in the VE world. you don't want to rev the car to 9,000 RPM if it doesn't need to. I mean, what if it's in power to 8,000 RPMs? You know, at that point, what reason do you need to spin the car to 9,000? Different things that need to be considered. Some things that we did leave off, Adrian, which I saw on SR20 BEs in the past, were messing with the cam timing, you know, adjustable cam gears, sprockets, custom steel made a set. I think Jim Wolf made a set back in the days too. Yeah. In the VE world, I mean, it's a lot of guys have tried to mess with the cam timing just to be able to see if they can make any gains, modify these cars to where it's going to give you a little bit more response. Things that we didn't discuss. We didn't discuss nitrous. Obviously, you know, we've seen guys that are making pretty good power on the unit. We've seen guys that are making power, a lot of power with turbo cars. I mean, it's a whole different ballgame right there. And I honestly don't have very much experience. I know you have your white Sentra that's got the VE plus turbo setup, right? The AK. Can you give me some information on that? Share some experience with that?
It might get a little bit too deep because there's a lot of information. So I don't know if we have enough time or if you want to keep going. But yeah, I can definitely.
I would say let's keep it short.
I'll try to keep it on the short end and kind of go from there. Man, as far as the setup goes, I have Senestar 20 VE, plus T, and I have a decent sized Garrett turbo on there. Everybody has their opinion on the turbos. I don't like to go short when it comes to the turbo. But I mean, again, everyone has a different budget and everyone has a different idea. And there's some Chinese turbos that are okay. I've used a couple of them in the past and another cars that I've had, but for this car, I wanted to stay with the Garrett, a name brand. And, cause I know it's a really good turbo. It's a, what is it? GTX 3071. So it's a decent turbo. It's a little bit older now compared to what's available. And it's coupled with a HKS wastegate, external wastegate on a Sidewinder manifold. I mean, it's got pretty much everything's been done to it on the outside. But the last thing that I need to do is probably the hardest, and it's just getting it tuned and putting the ECU together and wiring everything up. But it's going to be a fun car, that's for sure. You know, there's different. Do you want me to talk about the different types of ways to kind of turbo a car, or turbo a V, or even D?
Yeah. Let's just bolt on type of deals. Everything's always going to be bolt on,
right?
But
right.
I mean, it's easily bolted on, but there's some things that need to be done, such as plumbing, correct?
Yeah. So that being said, the first thing you probably want to do is all of the motors have a spot where they're supposed to be drilled and tapped for an oil drain. So the VE has a spot and same does the DE. And all it is just, you know, center punching that hole, drilling it, and then tapping it for the correct fitting so that when the turbo is there, it has a spot for the oil to drain back into the block. The tools to do this, you can walk into a Napa Auto Parts store and you can get the tool. You can go, you know, you can get the drill, the tap, not the drill, but the tap, the bit, and the fitting all in one spot. It shouldn't be more than $20, maybe 30. I did it a few months ago for a buddy, and I was surprised at how easy it is to do it. Just got to make sure you got the room to do it in the car and remove some things. There's a couple of things you're going to need to do it. Obviously, you're going to need a turbo manifold and a turbo. depending on your budget, you can get something secondhand, you know, from like the forums, the Facebook groups, or your local SR20 head, whoever that may be. And they can be as cheap as, you know, a couple $100 to a couple thousand, depending on how crazy the setup is. And is it internally wastegated or externally? Is it an OEM or not? Is it it's on its way out or not? That kind of thing.
Let me stop you right there, Adrian, real quick. Because there are, you know, we've had Chris Dorsey on a podcast before. And, you know, shout out to Dorsey. He's still doing and working with all these SR20 manifolds, and he has his own car set up and everything. And I know a lot of guys that still run those manifolds and are deep in tens, nines, and you know, producing pretty good numbers on his setups. And not only that, but like ProTech, you know, still had it their stuff. And I mean, there's a lot of custom stuff out there too.
Yeah, you definitely want to be looking into their Facebook groups and on the forum to see what's available. A lot of these manifolds are now just custom one-offs. The one I have on my car is a custom one-off, and it looks very similar to the ones that Chris makes, Chris Dorsey. Reason I know is because I've been working on my brother's car, who has one of his manifolds, and like it's very, very similar. Chris's piece is a little bit nicer than mine. Mine's just super old. But you got to really look and see who's made some in the past for them. And there's not that much available brand new ones anymore unless you go to, like, you know, somebody who's going to make a custom for you, like Chris. Gosh, what are the other companies that used to make them? I think there's a couple that were... I don't remember if Tom A used to make one or HKS. Somebody used to make one that was bolt in.
There was a Sidewinder turbo. I can't remember the name of the company, Martin Stat.
Yes,
on that Red Sentra. Lucy on that Red Sentra. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
That Sidewinder setup.
Yeah. So there's different options. It just kind of depends on, you know, what you want to do, what your goal is, and hey, do you want to cut up the front end? Do you care for it or not? Do you want to do a, you know, a top mount? You can get some from eBay. You can get some from you know, different vendors. But then, I mean, that's going to require you to cut the radiator support a little bit. And then, hey, not only did you cut it, you know, do you have to run a half radiator, or what do you got to do for cooling? And then, you know, it opens up more cans of worms. It's like, hey, now because you have this big turbo here in the center, you can't run a downpipe. So, you know, we're going to run the pipe through the hood, which a lot of people like to do nowadays. or through the side. What are you going to do? So you have a lot of, depending on which way you decide to go, is going to depend on what you decide to do with the car, or, and everything else has to work with it together.
Absolutely.
So you definitely want to keep that in mind. But we didn't mention this, but definitely before you turbo your car, make sure your car is running right. Make sure everything is good, because you're going to add a lot of more power, and you're going to put a lot more stress in the motor. So you want to make sure, please, please make sure everything is in good operating condition. Especially, you know, little things that shouldn't go wrong, because these little things are going to get magnified as you put more power. So if you have bad motor mounts, put better motor mounts in there. Or if you think you have a blown head gasket, fix your head gasket before you do this, because it's just going to magnify it. So, or a bad water pump, who knows? There's just a bunch of things that can happen. Just want to make sure everything's running right before you decide to do this. As far as plumbing goes too, Raul, you want to make sure you get an oil feed line, and you know, you can get the fittings on, what is it? Besides eBay,
Earl's.
Gosh, what is it?
Earl's Plumbing.
Oh yeah, Earl's Plumbing. Yeah, you can get it from Earl's Plumbing, and then just fittings. You just got to know which thread pitch and size you need to get for the engine, and then also for your stainless steel line that's going to go feed the turbo. Intercoolers. You can, you know, there's a full range. You can do from like a custom to an OEM style that gets modified. And then again, it just kind of very similar to the whole turbo setup and how you want to do your front end. It depends on you on how you want to route the plumbing and how you want it to be presented. Do you not care not running front bumper, or do you want to be a little bit more inconspicuous and hide it and look a little bit more OEM, or do you want to do a top mount? You know, some people like having a top mount. I'm not a fan of it. I think it looks cool, but not for myself. And then again, same thing on the other side is intercooler piping to the intake, and then you definitely want to have a blow off valve on there. And then again, it's just you're opening up a whole array of what you like, how it sounds, and what you like, how it looks, and then what's in your budget.
I think we covered some of the basics here as far as, you know, what we originally intended to have a conversation about, and, you know, things that have worked for both in the past. So
yeah, maybe we can do that. National convention. Definitely want to be there. Definitely want to be there.
Definitely. I'm currently registered. So that's the plan as of now to be able to attend the convention. And, you know, it's been a while since I've been to a national event. But I mean, if I'm here to vouch for any 20 conventions, whether it's the nationals or WCC, I mean, Chris Parker has done a hell of a job. The WCC going, he's going to be sometime in the fall. Likely it's going to stay in California. I mean, got a couple different options. Events for SR20 related stuff, maybe we'll see something about Octomeet. Who knows? But anyways, stay safe, everybody. Adrian, thanks for having a chat with us today about experimentations for SR20s. Hope you are and stay safe, and hope to see you soon, man.
Likewise, Roel. Thank you for having me, and it was fun to talk about all these things. You're bringing back a lot of memories of my younger days, that's for sure. So thank you.
Adrian, sounds good. So thank you for listening to the SR20 Talk podcast. Peace out.
Bye, everyone.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. We're coming at you live from Munford, Alabama, in Talladega Grand Prix. Welcome to a special SR20 Talk podcast episode, coming at you live from beautiful Munford, Alabama, just outside of Birmingham. We are here for the SR2022 National Convention. We're going to be talking to the guys that made the trip for the convention, picking everybody's brains here, so stay tuned. All right, so I'm here with Roger Raymond. Roger, tell us a little bit about what you got going on with your car today.
Well, boys, this is a 92 Sentra SER. The suspension setup is pretty simple. It's a D2 coilover setup. Just wanted to keep it as basic as possible for the shakedown. It's got 15x8. Volk T37s with a 35 millimeter offset. I do have a spare set of Koenig Decagrams on a 15x8 setup as well, with the 225 tires, the Nitto NT01s, man, they're the truth. I love them.
So we have the hood open on the car. What engine's in here?
So it's a W10 DET. So this is basically your average DET setup. It came with a T25, but we beefed it up to a top mount Garrett 2876R, and it's running the Treadstone manifold.
Treadstone, cool. It looks similar to like ProTech.
It is. Actually, you know what? You're right. It is a ProTech.
Got it.
So this particular setup is just going to be streetable. Nothing going crazy on the power, so you know, I'm shooting for somewhere in the 350 range.
350 range, and this what transmission's in here?
So this is actually a stock transmission right now, B13 transmission with stock gearing, 4-1 final drive. We need that longer gearing for the turbo setup, so we brought it out to the convention just to do a shakedown on it. It actually is a customer build.
Oh, nice.
So right now I'm just checking things on the car, making sure everything's tip top before it goes into delivery. I come up on some hiccups today, but we're gonna bounce back. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, those things will get addressed, and the customer will be able to get his car back and 100%, correct?
That's the way we do it, man. I'm looking forward to working with him, and then, you know, I have another customer now that we're talking about some future builds with as well. So I love this community. I love this family that I feel every time I come out here. And I can't wait to have more connections with different guys.
Roger, so it's looking like a successful event that you put out here. So tell us a little bit about the track.
It's a very, very technical track. It's comparable to the firm. We do have two straights, though, on this particular track. So there's a lot of pass-by areas. So we've put on a good event, in my opinion. And I'm grateful for these guys who came out to support. I'm grateful for the board members. It wouldn't be possible without them. But this track it's fast.
Yeah.
It's a very fast track. You know, I'm seeing guys get up to 100, 120 on the straight and, you know, jamming on the brakes right before. And it's got beautiful banking. Similar to like what you have out there in Cali, like your Button Willow.
Right.
And the banking is helping them maintain that speed, man. It's been a great day watching these guys run.
Cool. What are the plans for the rest of the convention? Today we're sitting at the track day, which is Friday.
Yep.
What are the plans for after the track? What are we doing tonight?
So we're going to go back to, obviously, the hotel. We have the back section kind of sanctioned for us. I'm probably going to get with the guys that got in early this morning and a little bit later than, you know, your Thursday guys, just to kind of get them their packages. The hotel actually texted me while we were out here and let me know that the packages are in. So I have all the swag stuff for you guys ready to go. We've got the beer mugs, we've got the lanyards, and the hats came in as well. So I'm happy about that. And I, you know, want to just talk with you guys, see how you like the track day, so I can, you know what to do for next year.
Got it. Who are you seeing on the track that you're saying, wow, this motherfucker is getting it?
Ah, man. I mean, I can't go 1 year without mentioning Mark Schoenholtz. If I'm saying his name right. That car is set up to run any track he takes it to. You know, it's pull it off the trailer, tech, and run all day.
Yeah.
So that car, I can't knock it. There's a couple of beautiful B14s out here.
Oh yeah.
And that in itself is a great thing, because we've been kind of dominating with B13s and NXs in the past. So a couple of B14s out here that are pushing really hard. But I've got to take a caveat to mention this build, man. Christopher Rosario.
Yeah.
He put a fresh motor in right before the convention. I mean, this guy, He does it year in, time and time again, where it's the day before the convention, and we're in Florida. He is just vigilant. He will not give up. So there's a brand new motor in the car, and it's dialed in as best as possible with, you know, some street tuning. But when I tell you the thing sounds like an angry bitch on the track, man, the straightaway, you don't hear any other car. The car is a monster. It's beautiful and set up that way. You know, it's a white B13 with gold Anki wheels, and the stance on the car is perfect.
So I'm with Christopher Rosario. He's from Florida. Tell us where you're from, Chris.
Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Perfect. Now, I'm looking at your beautiful B13 SCR. It's a white car. Looks pretty raced out here. Walk us through your power plant.
Currently, I kind of went back a little bit. I was having some issues with some previous builds and whatnot. So I just got a fresh base, fresh start VE. So it's all stock minus N1 cams, ASP header, exhaust made by myself. Nice, you know, 3-inch back turn down with a resonator. Map sensor conversion. velocity stack intake, straight open, stock ignition, stock wire, stock coil, and everything. It does plenty for me. E85, still using stock injectors with the E85 and a Walro 255 pump. Gio's my tuner. He's the man with it. And, I mean, you see what it's doing.
Yeah.
I love the car, man. Love it. I'm having fun. It's this fresh motor feels great. And I'm just going to be slowly working back up from here. I had a little more mods before. I had pulleys and everything. I do have a 7-pound flywheel and a 4-putt clutch.
Gotcha. Other than that, I'm seeing you on the track here, and it's just, this car is insanely loud, man. And looks like you're just walking through some of these guys here. So get to see the car making some power. What else can you tell us about the car?
Well, like I said, I'm just trying to go little by little, things as I can. Suspension bits here and there. And just like I said, I haven't had a lot of previous issues, so I'm just trying to get it solid right now, get some seat time, and then slowly start working back into upgrading brakes and things of that nature. A really solid, rest-free car. I eventually want to go through it. I know it looks decent the way it is, but I'm picky. I want to go inside out, back over, redo some of the cage, add some bars and stuff. But I'm just trying to enjoy it the way it is. But I have a B15 tranny, a custom 5.1 final drive I have from JMR. And that's currently damaged. So I'm running a B14 stock training with the 4.1 final, and I cannot get used to it, man. I mean, I know you said it sounds like I'm, but if I had the 5.1, you'd see a whole nother difference. Oh, yeah. I'm running through the gears. This, I'm just stretching 30, like, when is it going to end? I want to go to the next gear.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to figure it out mostly today.
Cool.
A little testing, workout bugs and kinks. So this car here, I believe it was Jeremy R that owned it at the time. This car used to be maroon and had a DE in it, and it was at the SR 2009 convention. And this is the car that was in that video clip that got posted on the forums that passed out the DET car.
Wow.
In that clip. And everybody was like, oh, and it said something. I'm like, man, that thing's got some balls or whatever it is like that. That clip was going around for the longest. So this is that car. It's been repainted to white and VVL swap and everything like that. So it's pretty cool. A little bit of history behind it. It's been around for a while.
Awesome. Joining me is Joe Melendez. Tell us where you're from, Joe.
Bakersfield, California.
Okay. And what made you come out to Mumford, Alabama?
We just came out here for the national convention. We got invited out here, and you know what? We're glad we made the trip. It's amazing. Amazing people out here. It's a little bit different for us since we're drag racers, but you know what? This course racing looks fun. These guys out here doing a lot of convincing, and not with their mouth. They're actually showing us what they're doing, and it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Seeing a lot of these cars with different setups. Any particular car that caught your attention?
Shit. All of them. All of them look fucking beautiful. Pulsars. There's this white one right here. Shit, look like I'm looking at mine, you know.
And we're looking at Christopher Rosario's car.
Yeah, and it looks amazing. Same bumper, same style. He looks like we got the similar style, but I mean, not talking down to anybody else out here, but all their cars are shit amazing. They look way better than ours out there. They take care of their stuff a lot more than we do, I guess.
Yeah. Joining me is Junior Mahabir. Also known as June. He came out from New York. What's going on, June?
What's going on, man? How's everything?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I see you came out with your Pulsar GTIR.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the track. How have you experienced it so far?
It's my first time out with this car. It's just a street car with a few bolt-ons, nothing crazy. It's my first time on a road course with a right-hand drive car, so it's a bit of an experience. The track is pretty nice. It's pretty cool. It's a short track, so I'm having fun with an underpowered car.
Cool. So, yeah, I mean, we know you in the SR world as this big, badass drag racer, man. So this is a whole different world, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different world. It's fun, though. It's a lot of fun. You get a lot of time on track. You know, drag racing is like, 9-10 seconds, and then you got to wait 2-3 hours for a pass.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. Out here, you're getting 20-30-minute sessions, right?
Yep.
So can you walk us through a little bit about the setup on your Pulsar GTR?
It's basically a stock motor for the most part. It's just I did head studs on it and a head gasket, metal head gasket. I did coilovers, BC coilovers, steel braided brake lines. I just wanted it nice for the street, like, for a nice cruiser car. Once in a while, take it on track, stuff like that.
Cool.
Cool. Any surprises coming out from JMR Garage?
Nah, just the B14. We got a lot of upgrades for this year so far. We didn't make it out to our first event, but we're going to be out in 2 weeks testing for the next event. That's Import Revival in Atco, New Jersey. So hopefully we could at least get the car right back where we were last year and then try and progress from there.
Awesome. We've got Jose Feliciano. What's going on, Jose?
What's going on, guys?
All right. So we're right in front of your beautiful red B13 SCR. Tell us a little bit about the car.
Well, back in 2001, I worked at a budget rental car, and I seen this same car driving by from the original owner. Used to drive by, and at the time I was 18, and I used to ask him how much he sold me the car for. You know, back then he just gave me like a crazy price just for like back off.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of years later, him and a friend of mine traded a truck for the car, and then my friend drove it for a couple of years. Then he moved to North Carolina, and I asked him about the car, and he just told me go get it. It was in his mom's horse barn. So I got a show for free. My friend passed away, so the car means a lot now to me than anything. And I had it for 15 years. It's V-swapped with all the bolt-ons. It's geotuned.
Geotune for the win?
Yeah. If you don't know geotune, y'all better get in the program. But you know, just full bolt on. It's built for my likings, you know, not for, I don't care what people think about it.
So when you say to your liking, now I see you got a roll cage inside. It's a, is that bolted on or is it
welded?
Bolt on cage. Out of power?
Out of power, yeah.
Gotcha. So what suspension do you have in this car?
Fortunato's 500. Progress sway bars, front and rear, energy suspension bushings, Cusco front stroke bar, Octo rear bar.
Now, so this is a street car. Now, is this, what do you like more? Are you into drag racing or are you into road racing?
Road race. I don't make powerful drag racing. So road racing, plus road racing is better. It's, you know, I'm a driver, so that's what I need to do.
That's awesome. So we're out here in Mumford, Alabama for the 2022 SR20 National Convention. Why do you come to these, man?
Man, this community is so small that everybody here is like family. Like, I just met Raul. I heard of Raul through like Facebook and the forums, but I met him. It was like, you know,
like we've known each other for fuck
yeah, you know, years, like, right? You know, yeah. We just have a good vibe. And everybody's like this with these cars. It's just like a big family.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a family reunion.
That's right. Now, if you were to say who you're most excited to see on the track here, or who you've seen on the track today, who would you say?
Chris Rosario, because he
Well, you can hear him in the background right now. Yeah, you can hear VVL slapping.
Chris,
right?
Chris put on work every year, and
there he is.
And see? I'm proud of him. He do his thing.
That's what's up, man. So, cool, man. I'm glad the Florida guys came out this way too. So, we're having a good time. So I'm here with Chris and his beautiful. What color is this Sentra, man? This
B13. It's a burgundy.
Okay.
It's repainted, so it's a little darker with a pearl.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your setup here.
So the setup is a all motor natural aspirated VE. Got N1 cams, Jim Wolf cam gears. It's the tri-y headers, full 3-inch exhaust with a resonator. I believe it was a Vibrant exhaust. Got an electric water pump for the track. Power steering cooler, power steering oil cooler. 3.25 a 3-inch intake,
okay,
piping with a step down from the Pathfinder throttle body.
Okay.
With
it's a Pathfinder throttle body.
3.5 to, you know, down to a 3-inch.
Okay. What intake manifold is that?
Oh, that's a custom one from Geo Made. I think
Geo Made
is first hollow out intake manifold.
Gotcha.
And then when we dropped it on, we actually had to get bigger injectors.
Okay.
So we went from the regular 810s to the 220s.
Mm-hmm.
It was leaning out, so we actually saw improvement in the horsepower.
So how much power is this car making?
When we dynoed, the last time it was 217. To
217,
the
and this is on pump gas?
E85.
E85, cool. Sounds good. And
This transmission's B13 trans. So
yeah.
Assuming you have a final drive in there? Or?
Yeah, it's a stock B13 LSD with a 4.7 final drive Xeddy clutch.
Okay.
Stage one.
And a coilover setup. What do you have on there?
As a Fortune 500.
Okay.
With the 8K spring rate in front and 6K in the back. And hypercoil springs.
Awesome, man. So let me ask you a question. What brings you out to the convention, man?
Well, pretty much Gio had been telling me for the past couple of years.
Is this your first convention?
First convention, but I've been in the Centro scene for about 18 years.
Wow.
Buying and selling parts and cars.
Okay.
So, you know, I actually started tracking the car about a year ago and went from, you know, a regular DE. If you saw the pictures in the set before, it was just a regular DE swapped into VE. It was about 178 to the wheels, and now it's a 217 with, you know, pretty much all these parts I just
mentioned.
Supporting
mods on the car, too. Right, that's awesome, man. Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Joining me is Chris Viskovich with his beautiful red B13 track car. Chris, tell me a little bit about this car.
I actually got started with a street car back in 2002, and I got it from a friend of mine in California. We started it out as a track project, and funny enough, we did a basic build on it. We've been involved in the community for almost 20 years, seeking the advice of all the experts you know, that have been in the community. And what we did was we showed it to the Motor Press Guild, and they got super excited. They compared it to all the of-the-market cars, and this was absolutely the most fun car that they had gotten to drive today. So that got a big, big start. And then I've just continued to develop the car in plateaus for autocrossing, and then took it up to racing with NASA.
Nice.
And went to the national championships in this car too. Placed second, but was operating a little bit out of class.
Yeah.
But cool. But a good race is a good race.
You podiumed, man, so that's a
good
thing,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So you had a little bit of a track woe today, right?
Yeah, I had a great first session. The car is really, I was on new tires today. I'm running the Azenis RT660s. I came off the BFG R1s, and honestly, they really hung in there. The car was humming, everything was looking good. Second session ran into a little trouble halfway through the session. Think we may have to do an engine replacement on it now, but this has given me almost 15 years of race track time and lived a hard life. So as a built DE, it served me well.
No, that's awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about this particular setup that you have?
Oh, so I'll tell you, it's sort of best of breed. I use sort of Mike Kojima as sort of for build advice. And Richie Watanabe, his engine builder, actually built this motor.
Okay.
It's running SR16 cams. It's a high compression build.
It's for 16 pistons.
Oh,
right?
Pistons. Sorry. It's running C3R cams, hotshot Gen 6 exhaust. Everything's micro shot peened, upgraded crank, crank scraper, windage tray, oil coolers, oil piston squirters from a DET to go ahead, and everything that possibly could be added to this car to increase its reliability has been added to this car. It's running a P10 transmission, and let's see what else. It's completely gutted and has an amazing roll cage.
Oh yeah, looking at the cage, it's very, very crazy looking. Now, what? Tell us a little bit about the suspension setup in this car. We talked about this earlier, but can you share for the listeners here?
Yes. So we validated this suspension setup in NASA back in 2004. Don Gardner campaigned an NX2000, and we worked hand in hand with Progress to really ring out and track test a bunch of different suspensions. So it's the Progress competition suspension that's on here, and I think that the rates that they valved my shocks to, they were 900 front, 750 rear, so really stiff on the springs. But it was working on a course like this today. It felt fabulous.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Joining me next is a person that doesn't need an introduction, a longtime member of the community. I'm sure if you've been in this community long enough, you've heard his name being mentioned. I got Greg Vogel over here with me. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's happening, Raul?
Nothing much. So tell me a little bit about what you're seeing out here today.
So we're out in Alabama at the 2022 convention,
and we've got a pretty good turnout. The B13s, we've got some B14s, we've got three GTIRs, including June brought his from New York, and just a lot of fun. Great day, beautiful day, and guys, a couple guys had issues, but on the whole, just a lot of people having fun and enjoying a new track.
Which one of these cars that you're seeing on a track is catching your attention the most?
So, you know, Rodrigo Piedrahita's B13 is just a beautiful, beautiful specimen of a car. And I mean, if you like black B13s, it's hard to go wrong with his. And then I got to ride along with him on the track. And man, I didn't know that I could like the car anymore, but it is a really, really good car on the track as well. And Rodrigo's doing a good job driving. So that's definitely got my attention. And Brian's GTIR, just took that out on the track with him, and that was a lot of fun as well.
Cool. I mean, being that you've been in the community for so long, you're out at these conventions, whether it's the SR20 West Coast Convention, you're a regular at the national conventions. Why do you keep coming to these?
You know, obviously it's a part of my business, right? But I think anybody that knows me or has done business with me knows that it goes beyond that. It's a fellowship. It's friends that you know, we get together at, you know, like I said, once a year only. And we're just back to the same things. This is like, you know, we were together last weekend. And I think it's just a fellowship. It's just a fellowship with a common interest and the community. It's really the unity that is in community. And bringing people together, and guys helping other guys, and guys learning from other guys, just seeing what other guys are doing and how they're doing it, and maybe how that might benefit their own build. And it's just, like I said, man, it's just a shared interest. It's the unity in the community.
Right. So what I'm also seeing here is, you know, you see guys that look like they're just growing facial hair. I mean, you know, you got maybe 18, 19-year-old guys here.
Younger.
Yeah, and then we've also got a group of guys that are in the older stages, right?
Yeah.
Why do you think this community is still going?
Well, first of all, it's surrounded around really good cars, right? I mean, these are just excellent, excellent cars. We still got them running. And they still bring smiles to people's faces. And if you don't have that, man, you know, what are you going to gather around? So I would say, first of all, it's just around a really, really good vehicle platform. And, you know, it's just a shared interest, a shared love. And these cars are now, you know, some of them are 30-plus years old. And the newest ones are even only, you know, 20-plus years old. And so, you know, if you're keeping a car that long, if you've got a car that old, you know, you have to have an interest in it, and you have to care about it. And it's not just, you know, it's not a taxi, it's not a Honda Civic, you know, it's not, it's something, you know, that's in you. It's just, it gets to be in you.
Right. So what are the chances that we're going to see you on the track, back on the track? You know, I know you've got to
put me on the spot on your show.
I will. I will. Yes.
So, yeah, I still have a B13, and my son still has a B13, and we need to do a little head work. So, I got to put a motor back together, and it just, you know, life goes this way and that way, and a daughter in college and grandkids, you know what I mean? Talking about us old guys. But, yeah, soon. Mañana.
All right, I've got Uncle Joe here with me. Uncle Joe, what do you think so far of the convention?
I think it's been a great time. We had a decent turnout. We've had absolutely gorgeous weather. I think that everybody that was on track over at Talladega Grand Prix Raceway had an awesome time. The facilities were the most hospitable ones that I think I've been to in years.
Yeah.
We had a lot of new guys on track, learned a lot. By the end of the day, everybody was doing really well. Had a couple typical fatalities of cars, nobodies.
We got to clear that up, right?
Yeah, we got to make sure that we got that right. So, but you know, that these things always happen. You're pushing 30-year-old cars real hard, and things happen, but you know, everybody's able to get everything home. Today we're out here. Yesterday we had a swap meet and general hangout at the hotel, which was one of my favorite times, because you get to talk to folks that you only see maybe every other year, maybe every 5 years, maybe every 10 years, like in ours.
Yeah,
so,
in our case, right?
You know, and then you, it's like you just literally saw them last week. You can pick up the conversation almost from where it was last time you were there. And then today we're out here at the gorgeous Barber Vintage Museum and Racetrack. We had an opportunity to do some parade laps, which this facility, imagine the manicured grounds of a professional golf course, museum quality sculptures, and a racetrack all in one facility, and that's where we are.
Yeah, so we went out on that parade lap. It's a 2.5 miles.
2.5 miles.
Oh my God. I mean, I think we were pushing a little bit way too much, and in my opinion, it felt like we were actually on course. I mean, I would say maybe 70% of the guys, you know. But now you walk inside of the museum, and I've never seen anything like it.
It's like you walk in, it's focused mostly on motorcycles, but it has a lot of motorsport history. On top of that, if you just stand in place for 10 seconds and look around, you'll see five more things that you didn't see a minute ago. And then you can go 20 feet and do the same thing. And it's like, oh my God, look at that. I mean, we've got, there's Formula One cars on display. There's Lotuses from one of the very first Lotuses ever built on display. And it continues along that same lines. There's just so much stuff here.
Five floors of, you know, classic and it's just vintage stuff, man. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous facility. I've never seen anything like it, you know. I mean, I've been to the Petersons Museum in L.A. and I don't know, man. I mean, this is just different.
Yeah.
This is very different. I like the fact that it's got a track also here in the facility. It's just like an overall experience.
It is a motorsport experience is the best way to put it. Yeah. You could probably spend 8 or 9 hours just inside the museum going back and forth. There's that much cool stuff in there.
That's awesome. I've got Colin Gillespie here with us, and we're going to be talking a little bit about his trip because he's had an unusual trip, not a normal trip, but he's made it a norm to be able to come out to the conventions, both the national and WCC. What's going on, Colin?
Not much.
So tell me about how you got here. You're up in Seattle, in the Seattle, Washington area. Walk me through the trip.
Yeah, so after West Coast Convention of 2021, I was dicking around in L.A. and I went to SEMA, and then I did another track day where I ended up breaking some axles on the track, and I just got real frustrated and didn't want to deal with it, so I just threw it in storage and left it in California for about 6 months. And so about a month ago, you know, after tax season's done, because I'm an accountant, I'm stupid busy from January 1 through April, this year was the 18th. And so I went down there and, you know, got some axles in there, got it, you know, new oil change, new brake fluid change, you know, got it up to, you know, it's, you know, running and driving. So once I got that all kind of set, the car was in California and the event is here in Alabama. And I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to drive across. See how many states I can see. I mean, I've been to a lot of states before, but, I thought, well, maybe, you know, let's just kind of mark them off. And so I got a little map on the side of the car.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. That's nice.
Yeah. So, anytime I get to a new state, I just put the little sticker on. And, I went, it was east of LA. I was in Ontario, California is where the car was, cause it's right next to the track at Auto Club. And then, I just left there and I went up to, was it 20 up Barstow? Is it 40? Oh, no, it's Interstate 40. So I started there and just headed east. And then eventually I peeled off there at Flagstaff and I went up and I saw Monument Valley and the Four Corners Monument where Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico go together. And then I got caught in this crazy sandstorm. So then the next morning, I spent like 4 hours washing the car again. it was fun. So I just, went across and kind of hit some things that I'd known about for a while, hadn't seen, the Cadillac Ranch in Amarillo, where they've, got all those Cadillacs buried, just kind of like an art installation. And and then I just, kept driving east and, saw some new states and, went all the way down. And I, just barely hit the tip of Florida, in Pensacola, and I took a photo, and all the Florida guys was like, "What are you doing? This is an old photo. This is from years ago." Yeah. And I'm like, "No, this is a new car, a different car. I'm here." Yeah. And then I popped up, and here I am in Alabama. So I'm just excited.
So I know this isn't your first rodeo as far as driving the car from the LA area all the way over here. You've done this multiple times. This is your second national convention in the car that you've driven the car, or what's it been?
Well, okay, so the first the other time that I went to a national convention and I brought a car, I cheated a little bit. I actually shipped the car to Atlanta because the harmonic pulley on the car that I was going to bring decided that it was at the end of its life and decided to chuck all my belts. And I was so frustrated, I didn't want to deal with it. So I had just imported an all-wheel drive Primera from Japan. I had no info on if it was any good or all anything, but I said, forget it, just ship it, and I'll deal with it when I get there. And so I shipped it to Atlanta, and then I flew in. And you know, the next morning, I went and picked it up from a friend's house that had received the car for me. And I just drove down to Gainesville for SR 2018. And yeah, and so, you know, the whole time I was there, I was thinking, you know, what can I do in Florida that would be fun? And I thought, well, I've never been to Key West. So I was going to go to Key West to get a slice of key lime pie. And everyone was saying, dude, that's like 800 miles. I mean, it's like, you know, Florida's really long. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to drive down to the end. And, you know, I mean, they were right. It's way down there. But I went down there and hit the very, very end. And, you know, I got a picture of the car next to the sign that says 90 miles to Cuba. And and then when I was done with that, yeah, I drove home. And so, I mean, it was quite a drive. I took like a week to do it. But, you know, it was fun because it was, you know, it was kind of my introduction to that car because I, you know, I just got it. And it was, you know, it's something fun to bring out because it's unique and different. You know, we love our B13s and our B14s and all the Sentras and stuff. But, you know, to see something unique in all-wheel drive,
yeah,
you know, I think it's definitely worth, you know, even if it's not the fastest car on the track because it's still got a stock DE and is carrying a bunch of extra weight around, it's still fun.
Thank you for listening to episode 11 of the SR20 Talk podcast. Thank you for listening to episode 12 of the SR20 Talk podcast. Follow us on Instagram at SR20 Talk.